I'm delighted now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Pat Hodapp. She is Director of Libraries for the City of Santa Fe. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte. I'm always delighted to come talk about libraries.
I know. I mean, libraries are awesome. Librarians are the guardians of democracy in America.
Absolutely. I will share a funny story. I went to a program at the Georgia O'Keeffe last night, and Yumi, who's there, who's the librarian for the O'Keeffe, and we just love each other, and I went up and we kind of almost shook hands, and the director said, "Was that librarian's secret handshake?"
Really? That's funny.
And I said, "Rob, absolutely, and if you're really nice, we'll show it to you. Librarians rule the world. People just don't know it."
Well, I mean, when you talk about all the different kinds of inequality that we have that are so much worse than when I was growing up, libraries are a place where equal access is guaranteed.
And we live for that. You know, we tease about public being our middle name, but we really mean that. We try not to discriminate. We try to make everybody feel welcome at all ends of the spectrum. And that, to us, is really particularly key with kids and teens, because they are looked down on and sometimes pushed around at school, on the playgrounds. But they come to the library and they have what we consider a very open place. We never say safe because we can't guarantee that, but it's an open place for them. And once they find a book that they love, they're ours forever.
And
we own those kids.
Yeah, well, I mean, young people, if you were listening, if you were being pushed around in school, there's a good chance that you are a nerd. Nerds rule the world. They're the smart ones. They're the ones who read.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we just have to have them have a place where they can go and be safe and know that. We have a summer reading program, of course, that we'll talk about this summer. But one woman said that once she got her son to find a book that he loved, and we give away little prizes every week, he went home and read for 10 hours straight. And he had never done this before.
Yeah.
And those are the little breakthroughs that we love. But just every kid coming in, we, even though we have thousands of kids coming through the library, those librarians can always kind of spot or just say to somebody, "Hey, have you seen this worm book? Have you seen this?" And that may just capture their attention long enough to say, "Wow, this is an okay place."
It's interesting because librarians, especially children's librarians, are then in the position of being kind of matchmakers, matching the kid to the book.
Absolutely. Way back when I was in library school, we always said that we had to find the right book for the right child at the right time. Very high flung. But it was true. Once
it's
that
true.
Child finds that train book, that I don't know, ditch digger book, the thing about, you know, all kinds of tools and equipment. Once they find that and they know it's okay, they don't have to read Tom Sawyer. They don't have to read anything that's good for them.
Right.
Some of the Captain Underpants upsets a lot of parents, but it was written by a nerd when he was in third grade and he finally turned it into a book. But every kid who comes in says, "Do you have Captain Underpants?" And they think they have to whisper, and they don't. We have it right there on the shelf.
What is Captain Underpants?
This is a superhero, and he goes around in his whitey tighties.
Oh, my goodness. And there are books, I'm sure there's probably some gender divides, too. I remember when I was a little girl, I loved books about magic and time warps.
Yes. And those actually, time warps flow over into boys' reading.
Well, that's true.
And now with Harry Potter, it's opened everything up. I think a lot of guys who would not, young boys who would not have read Narnia, now read Narnia because the whole idea that they can go through a door and here's a magic land.
Yeah.
And that leads them into The Hobbit. And that leads, you know, all the way down the line.
And that leads to having an interesting life.
Exactly. Exactly. The people I love, who was it? I think it was Mark Twain said, Emerson said, "Find a somebody who's interesting and ask him what he reads." That's what made him interesting.
Yeah.
It wasn't just what was going on in his life, but where did he go with books? What got them excited? I go off on tangents when I read, and I think a lot of people do. And sometimes I just can't get enough. Right now I'm waiting for an author to finish her book in August. And her name is Louise Penny, just like the coin. Canadian mystery writer. And this is what happens with kids, too. I have read everything now. And the last two books, I rationed myself to like 2 pages a night because I knew I was coming to the end.
Oh, my
goodness.
She
writes another book. And she's so brilliant in her writing, and she adds history into it. And she writes about Canada. But now I'm rationing myself until August.
That's so interesting. I had a conversation with a teenage girl the other day, and she'd been reading a wonderful book that was one of my favorite books when I was in my 20s. And I said, "Have you finished it?" And she goes, "No, I don't like finishing novels because I miss the characters too much."
Exactly, exactly. And I find with this Louise Penny, which I don't often do, I've gone back to reread to see what I miss, because she does such great characterization. And all of a sudden you'll realize this one line refers back to another book and something that happened. And so it's all connected. But I don't get to read as much as I'd like. I think my budget papers are probably too much of my time.
Well, that's the beauty, I think, of childhood that children don't always realize, is they really have all the time in the world to actually read and do stuff.
My mother had taught in a one-room schoolhouse. And yes, and she, if we said we were going to read, we were excused from anything. And we truly did have a hammock in the backyard under walnut trees in Michigan. And I read The Death of Beth in Little Women so many summers that I think my tears probably rotted away the hammock. But it was something you'd go back to, and such an incredible memory. But, you know, if we were reading, we could get away with anything.
That's very interesting. I have a friend who is in her 60s now, and when she was 14 years old, her mother started talking about, when you get married and have children. And she said, "Mother, I'm not getting married. I'm not having children." She said, "Why?" And the girl said, "It would cut into my reading time."
I love it.
And now she's 68, and it's true. She has, ever since then, read at least 4 books a week. Never married, had a very interesting life, full of adventure, and nothing ever cut into her reading time.
I think she has her priorities straight.
So we're talking to Pat Hodapp, Director of Libraries for the City of Santa Fe, and now there are 3 libraries in the city.
Right. For the last 7 years, we've had 3 libraries. I came here from Denver, the Denver Public Library, and one of the reasons I came here was the city had already made a commitment, as had the state, to build a new library. So we built the Southside Library, where there was nothing on the south side. We had Terra Contenta, new houses going up everywhere, but there was no hub there. There was no place for people to even talk to each other. There wasn't even a coffee shop out there yet, let alone any shops. And that's where this library was built. And so our whole emphasis was to turn that into a community hub. That was our vision. And we love it. We do so many programs. And we did a community analysis. And it was young families. It was new immigrants. And on the other extreme, we had a lot of retired people. So that's how we kind of shaped our programs. What did people want? How did we put it together? And what is so exciting is that all these moms who had been out like strolling with their kids, they never knew each other, never said hello. Some didn't speak the same language. And we got them into the library to books and babies, for 6-month-old to 2-year-old babies. And the moms all met each other, and we had a little social time afterwards so they could get the kids could play together. And today, you'd better be careful on Books and Babies Days, because you'll be run over by mothers power strolling together on their way to the library.
Oh, my
goodness.
Because
so many of them have bonded, and they've come back, as they've had more babies. And it's fabulous. Then we have preschool story times. After that, summer reading. But we really targeted who are we serving there. We pretty well know who we serve at Lafarge Branch. It's mid-city, as they call it now, between the two, high school and the middle school. And it's a pretty solid, stable neighborhood. Not a lot of young kids. A lot of older people walking to the library. And we know what their likes are, and we know what they want there, although the children's area has grown a little bit more in the last couple of years for families. But the main library, we'd been serving business people, students, commuters, and, of course, some families. And in the last 2 years, we've had a boom with families. They have found the downtown library. We pulled our resources together. The Brindle Foundation funds Books and Babies, and we had enough money to offer Books and Babies at the main library also. 54 children there last week.
Oh, my goodness.
Southside had 94 counting parents. And these are programs that are supposed to be set up for an intimate relation of 15 to 20 children.
Right.
And so we are so thrilled. It's booming. And what really proves to us is we are able to gauge those neighborhoods. And so we can figure out what is needed there. And that's right. What we work very hard as librarians.
Yeah, it's matchmaking.
It is. Absolutely. And you have to look for kind of trends. When the State School for the Arts moved in on Paseo and Alameda, we saw these teens in the library. They weren't sitting at tables. They were on windowsills. They'd be on the floor in a corner. And my brilliant staff said, we've got so many new teens here. We'd been checking about 70 books a month. That's really low for anybody, for teens. And so we started putting out carts of teen books. And then we got little metal tables with kind of tractor chair seats. And we're doing 700 books a month now. And those kids are sitting at those tables and doing their homework. A lot of them are still in the windowsills because they choose to.
Because they're dancers. They're
yeah, exactly. And they're artists. You know, they are artists. And they're all over the library. We're hoping they're still going to use us when they move the school down by the South Capitol. But these kids are mobile, and they know where they're welcome. And my favorite example one day was a car pulled up in the library next to me, and there were four kids in it, and they were so sharp with a hat and spiffy, and you know, and I said, oh, hey, and they looked at me like, yeah, I'm older, yeah, and I said, I just want to warn you, if you don't pay for parking, you could get a $10 or $16 ticket, and it's only 50 cents, and the kid looked at me and said, why did you tell me? I said, you don't need to spend $16 on the city. Go put 50 cents in. And they were, all right, thanks, lady. You know, because we want them to feel welcome. There was no reason for them to, you know, they just pulled up like teens do, left their car. And we said, no, let's help you.
You know, it's interesting because the death of the book has been touted just like the death of radio. You know, they talk about these things, and radio never seems to die, and books don't seem to die either.
Rumors of their death has been greatly exaggerated. To use the popular phrase, it's been found in a lot of studies that the more people have internet access, the more they read books. And we'd known this, librarians had known this for years, because people would say, people can get all that information on their computers. But if someone reads about the Hermitage and their incredible art, or Matisse, or anybody, it's not as good on their computer.
Yeah.
And then they come to the library and they go, do you have any books? And we whip out the coffee table books on the Hermitage and all the backgrounds and all the studies, that they don't have to keep clicking to try to find small reports and maybe print off. And here in front of them is, you know, a 16 by 18 book of Matisse's prints.
And that's
the
one
thing. Makes a difference.
That and children's books, you just can't reproduce that on a digital, especially a small digital screen.
You can't. And the feel of them, being able to going back and forth to compare pages. So a lot of it's in the arts, but a lot of it's just incredible historical books. We have a lot of people who come into our reference desks, and we have thousands of reference questions a year, about 160,000 reference questions. And they don't quite know how to ask a question. And they come to us once they haven't been able to Google it, because that's their first line of defense. And they'll come to us and say, I just can't find it here. And we know resources. And right. Secrets to bypass things to get to the core. And if we can't find it, maybe we'll interlibrary loan it from another library.
It's funny. When I first moved here, the internet didn't exist yet. And I had a list of, you know, the fire department, my friends, the public library, and the public library reference desk. And every time I had a nerdy conversation with one of my friends and we argued over some point, I would call the library. And they always had it. Now we use Google for that.
We used to, in Denver, same age, same time with computers coming in, we would get phone calls from bars. Listen, could you tell us? I'm claiming such and such won the World Series in 19-whatever.
Right.
And we would tease with them and say, how big's the bet? You might want to pay us to get that answer.
Yeah, really. So we're talking to Pat Hodapp about the Santa Fe Public Library System, and I mean, there's books. I've had experiences reading on a Kindle. I didn't enjoy it that much. I prefer going back to paper books.
Right.
I don't use that device. And maybe you know studies, but a lot of people who buy those things end up really not using them that much. Some people do.
We find also a lot of people just don't know how to use them. And one of the things we do is we have a couple of courses, just workshops at the Southside Library. So you got a Kindle. And the idea is you come in because it's tragic. Grandkids usually will get their grandparents something. They got them a laptop. They got them a Kindle. And they'll come in and say, I have no idea what to do.
Right.
They don't have an email account. They don't know how to get on to get e-books. And we have e-books at the library also.
Oh, you do?
Yes. And it's very easy. Just log on to the library website, which is www.santafelibrary.org. And there's a little place that says one click that'll take you right to e-books. Or if you're looking through the catalog and you find to the left we have icons of the titles. And so there are DVDs and there are books. But if there's a book with headphones on it, you can click there, it'll take you right to one click, and you can order that one for free.
Now, are there audiobooks as well?
Yes. Yes, we also have audiobooks. Those are really popular with people who commute because we only buy audiobooks unabridged. And so if you're buying them on CD, you have something that is 6 inches tall and 6 inches wide to carry in your car. And of course, you're going to lose one, and then everybody's irritated, the librarian and you. But you can download, and you can download it to anything that you can put your sound on, have it in your car when you're traveling.
It's just amazing. And so this whole idea that everybody's going to be doing everything in their own house on their own computer just turns out not to be true. You're painting a picture of libraries as real community centers in this day and age.
It's really true. People really come to the library. We have a lot of people who come, and we know it's probably their only social interaction for the day or the week. And so they may ask a question about a book or a video, and they may not check it out, but that is their social contact. And I'm not even talking people, you know, in their 80s. I'm talking people who are maybe living alone in a small community or around Southside, for example, and they don't have an opportunity. If they don't have kids in the schools, if there's not a place where they can go and have coffee. There was a coffee shop that my husband went to with about 3 friends, and they're all college professors or had been librarians, and they always got these incredible discussions going. And they were at a coffee shop near Southside, and people at the other table said, can we join you? How often do you come? Because they were looking for that same kind of talking with somebody on a subject. It didn't matter what it was. And that's what we love about the library. Libraries are not shush anymore. We love it when people come in and they start a conversation. We have reading rooms. We have areas where they can certainly sit and talk. And it just makes it very friendly for them and friendly for us.
Now, what about book clubs? I mean, book clubs have been really on the increase, I suppose partly due to Oprah maybe or whatever, but it'd be interesting to know how many distinct book clubs there are in the city of Santa Fe alone.
You know, the ones that we have found are pretty much private, like the George O'Keefe has a fabulous, fabulous one on things O'Keefe and that, the time of O'Keefe's life. There are some mystery ones in town, but a lot of them are just groups of people who've gotten together and read. We've tried to sponsor some at the library. We have a mystery one at Lafarge, but we haven't found that to be a number one priority for people, which surprises us. But a lot of...
Maybe people really are doing it on their own.
I think they are. I think they are, and that's what we've seen.
Now, you've got a summer reading program. I want to make sure we talk about that before we go.
Oh, this is the longest-running program in Santa Fe. We know it's at least 65 years old. And in most cities, wherever they had a library, these started running in the 1920s. And summer reading has just become the absolute thing for kids to do. What we do is we encourage children to read over the summer. Studies have shown if children read over the summer, they either maintain their grade level in reading or actually excel the following year. They don't drop back. So our children's librarians are just brilliant. This summer they're doing Fizz Boom Read. Now don't ask me why it's Fizz Boom Read, but it's fun.
Okay.
You know how kids love alliteration and things happening, and it's just a happening thing. It's no longer like reading for children with bunnies and puppies.
Right.
And so what we do is we put together a 7-week program over the summer, and every single week we have special programs and crafts, and all anybody has to do is go into their local library, any one of the 3 libraries, and sign their child up in the children's room. Then they have to read 6 chapters or have 6 chapters read to them a week, and they log it on a log, and when they come in, they get a little prize. And these are things like hologram pencils and, you know, spider rings. But these kids just treasure them. And so then they read all summer. And after the 3rd week, every time they read, they get to put a ticket in to win a bicycle.
Ah.
And so right now in the libraries, we have bicycles on display. And my line is these little kids lust after them.
Yeah.
They come in and go, I'm going to win that. Oh, I want to win that. And what's so fabulous is this whole program is sponsored by the Friends of the Library. They sponsor all the programs and the Mary E. Vossell Estate. Ms. Vossell donated funds to have programs at the libraries. And this is, it's sponsored several years of programs. And then I had the good fortune of running into Charles Loesch of Santa Fe Century. And he, with Stephen Newhall from Rob and Charlie's Bicycles, said, bicycles make kids read? They donated last year, and they're donating, I guess, this year, 10 bicycles. And so that just makes our program just zing, because now we have more bicycles to give away. They are so generous with doing that, and they come and talk to the kids, and they give helmets and bike locks, so the kids are all set to go the minute they win that bicycle. And our children's librarians, as much as we give away little tiny things, they've gone out and talked to members in the community. And so Applebee's, McDonald's, the Genevieve Chavez Center all give coupons. Burger King gives coupons. So kids win something every week when they come in. And we love it. Lots of them have little billfolds, and they open them up, and there's a coupon for, you know, a French fry or a free swim at the GCCC. And they're so proud of it. And we find that if they connect being proud and happy and successful with reading, it's going to go that much farther. But every week we have a special program at the library. This last week we had a magician. This week we have Didgeridoo Down Under. And this is a group of musicians who do New Zealand and Australian music. And they bring in huge didgeridoos. And so the kids get to play with them. They get to look at them. They met to, you know, they
and
get to touch them.
The sounds that come out of them are so, I don't know what you would call them, otherworldly.
They are, and they just resonate in you. And then we've got puppets. We've got all kinds of things. But every week there's something special. Last year we did a program with a yo-yo master, and I was talking with the staff, and this is my part. They came up with the program, and I get to put the icing on it, and I said, do we have enough money to buy every kid a yo-yo who goes to the program? They said, we're not sure. I said, then I'll buy them. You know, yo-yos by the hundreds are like 25 cents a piece.
Right.
And so every child who came to the program was given a yo-yo so that they could go out and try what they learned, you know. And all of this is free, and it's due to all this generosity. The community here just steps up every time. We had a man walk in the other day, and he didn't even have a child, and he saw all these kids coming into a children's program, and he wrote a $100 check. He just said, I want this to go to children's programs. It's getting kids into the library excited. This is going to help them with school. This is going to help them with their whole life. the thing about public libraries and school libraries, and we really promote and are firm believers in school libraries, but they close when school's out.
Right.
Don't get between the door and a computer or the children's room in a library when school gets out. You'll be trampled. And so at night, after school, at night and weekends, the kids can come do their homeworks. Their families can come in. They come in with them to help them do their papers. And there are no other libraries open for them.
Pat Hodapp is Director of Libraries for the City of Santa Fe. On the web at santafelibrary.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
It's a pleasure, and I'll expect to have you come in and work on your reading list.
Exactly.